Welcome to the Barrel Chat Podcast, where we provide an unfiltered look into the craft beer industry from the untrained palates of two dumbass outsiders. I am Matthew Muncy, and as always, I am joined by Dustin Wood. Dustin, how are we doing?
Good, man. It's now podcast number two, starting the day with a great beer from Googman, and now jumping into another presumably great beer. We'll find out, but super excited for this one. I have high expectations just for the brewery alone, and now they've got metals coming out of their ears for this, so ready to jump in and see what we think about it.
That's right. Last week, we did Googman Haas, their milk stout. So if you have not listened to that episode, and you're from Indiana, I'd say definitely go back and listen to it, because they make good beer, and it's definitely a place worth checking out. And if you had that milk stout, it'd be interesting to know if our thoughts kind of match yours. Before we jump into the show itself, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok. That is at Barrel Chat. And then on Facebook, it's just the Barrel Chat Podcast. We are also now available on YouTube. So if you would rather listen to us through YouTube instead of a podcast app, you can do that. Or if you know anybody who does that, like during work and stuff, let them know that we now exist on YouTube. And that's also just the Barrel Chat Podcast. If you enjoy our show, please think about leaving us a rating on whatever podcast app or YouTube that you use. And you can also join our Discord server, which is essentially like a chat room, by contacting us via DM or email us at barrelchatpodcast@gmail.com, and we will send you an invite. We're just over there talking about the beers that we're drinking, talking about the episodes, stuff like that. So if you want to join that conversation, just let us know. So Dustin, I'm going to let you kind of run this one a little bit, since this is your beer. This is your brewery. You're the one who brought this into my life with that goddamn Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh, yeah.
Cinnamon Toast, beautiful beer.
We have a double version of that for later too. Don't worry.
And you got me hooked on this. On this brewery. Unfortunately, we can't get it here in Indy.
Not yet.
But yeah, I figured I'd let you do most of the talking here. This is your baby.
So like Matt said, I actually stumbled into Wolf's Ridge Brewing on a trip to Columbus many moons ago, probably 8+ years ago.
And that's Columbus, Ohio. Like.
Yeah, Columbus, Ohio.
Not to be confused with the one in Indiana.
And we, my friend Curtis and I stopped at like 12 or 13 breweries, and Wolf's Ridge was one of the last few we stopped at. We walked in the front door, and if you've been to Wolf's Ridge, there's two entrances. There's the restaurant, which is the front door, and the tap room, which is the back door. It turns out the restaurant is like a 5-star restaurant with like white tablecloths and candles and shit in the middle of the table, and here we are walking in shorts, t-shirts, and just hopping off of bicycles 10 or 12 breweries deep. We're like, we do not belong here. Okay, so we headed back out, and we went, well, shit, I want to go to one more brewery. So we just walked around the corner, and we were like, oh, look, the tap room, it's back here. Not as intimidating. We walk in there, it's this cool open air picnic table layout, family seating, but the music that is playing there, nice and chill, live music most of the time, but it's not like blow you out of the building live music, which is important to me because I like to talk at a brewery. I like to be able to actually enjoy the beer. So that's kind of how I found Wolf's Ridge, and now I go out of my way every time I'm near Columbus, Ohio, going through Columbus, Ohio, to stop and grab their beers. I'll dive a little bit more because I went to an event of theirs that was really awesome. It's their barrel-aged event, but we'll talk about that a little later on towards the end. But that was a fantastic event. But the beer we're going to do today is Wolf's Ridge. It's their Daybreak, which is a coffee vanilla cream ale. The beer notes here make it a 5% ABV, 14 IBU, and right now it's sitting at a 3.84 on Untappd, which I believe they suffer from the same fate that Sun King suffers from with their cream ale. People just don't love the cream ale to love to review it high because it's just quote unquote boring or whatever it may be. But I think for me, it's way higher than that. It's won so many things that it seems like it's weird that it's low. But just their description of the beer is just as the day, or just as the break of a new day ushers in endless possibilities, this provocative variant of our popular Clear Sky cream ale awakens new and intriguing tastes. We infuse our pre-prohibition style ale with light roasted beans from Columbus' own One Line Coffee. Side note, One Line makes great coffee if you're a coffee person. In addition to the robust vanilla, what results is an aroma that defines convention, or that defies convention, sorry, and a flavor that opens up like basically a new morning. So kind of looking here, just looking at golds and silvers and all these medals this year, they won gold, I believe, in 2023 for World Beer Cup, but I'll let Matt double check that as he's looking. But for sure, they've won silver 2022 at World Beer, gold 2021 at USA Beer Championships, silver 2021 GABF, gold 2020 GABF, and silver 2019 GABF. Lots of hardware, but I believe they won this year's gold medal at World Beer Cup.
That I did not pull up. I was actually pulling up the Untappd because I guess I didn't read this well enough. I was unaware that this was a variant. I thought that this was just...
Oh, did you pull up the traditional one?
Well, after you read it and you mentioned that it's a variant of Clear Sky, I went and pulled up Clear Sky. And that one won a ton of awards back in 2016, 2017 as well. And it's only 3.5 on Untappd. But I was just kind of curious because it's got 6,000 check-ins versus 23,000 for Daybreak. Because I was kind of curious then, it was like, well, is this a house beer?
It is a house beer.
Or is it a specialty beer? But it almost feels like maybe, I am kind of curious, like, do they even make Clear Sky anymore?
I've not seen Clear Sky in a while. They do variants of Clear Sky a lot, but I don't know if they do Clear Sky or if they just live on it because it's a great base beer. But they did win 2023 World Cup Beer Gold Medal for this Daybreak, which is the coffee vanilla cream ale. So that's, I mean, another gold to add to the list here.
So they do still make it, but yeah, you're right. They do make a ton of stuff on that. Oh, so some people on Untappd tagged Clear Sky and not the variant that they're drinking. So that's also quite interesting.
Yep. And I assume that happens a lot with things like this, because there's like 7 or 8 variants of Clear Sky out there. And then it's like Clear Sky name. So Clear Sky Daybreak, Clear Sky Nightfall, Clear Sky whatever it may be.
Gotcha. Yeah. I'm going to list this one under house beers, because if you have 23,000 check-ins of something,
it is a house beer. It's there. That's 95% of the time.
Yeah.
So we'll jump into can design. I'll let Matt jump first. He was saying he liked the can, so I want to see what he likes about the can. And then I'll throw in some of my gibberishly bullshit and go from there.
So the first thing that really stands out is it is wrapped. What'd you call it on the last
one?
It's
like a shrink wrap.
Shrink wrap. And it's orange. It's like orange. And it pops. Everything about it pops, like perfectly colored to the eye. If you've seen the Monster cans that are orange, it's that.
Ah, it does look a lot like that color.
Yes, that is the exact color that this is. And it's got a wolf on here. Daybreak is in huge letters, so it really stands out. Like if that's sitting on a shelf with Wolfridge on the front, like you're going to see Daybreak. Everything's nice and tight. Like they didn't like misuse any of the space. There's a topography map of some sort. I'm assuming of maybe Columbus or something, but that is going on in the background, so I don't know exactly what that means. Like what is the meaning behind that, cuz presumably anything you put on a can, there's a meaning behind it. I do like that it lists it being, award-winning beer and putting the medals from Great American Beer Festival, because I do think that helps. I think that's going to help I don't know how many casuals that helps if they go in and see there and like, you know, well, that's cool. Won a medal. They may pick it up anyways because they see the gold and the silver medals. But someone like us, if we've never heard of this, it's like, well, shit, that's a gold medal winning beer.
It's got to be decent.
I'm going to pick it up if I've never had it. Because, yeah, because it's going to be good. There is a little bit. The topography and the black writing on the back kind of clash, which makes it hard to read. Because it's like confusing to the sense in the best way possible. Daybreak's clarity and golden color belie the smooth coffee presence inside. And it's very difficult to read all of this. They don't mesh well together. It is just a very beautiful can. And like, there's nothing displeasing to the eye other than that on the back. But like everything on the front that you see doesn't have that issue. But like Daybreak doesn't run into that where it says IBU and the beer style. There is no clashing with the topography map. So it's like that's fine. Like just that one little thing doesn't make or break it for me.
This is a printed can.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, there's no shrink wrap. So that's a full print. I was like, man, they can't wrap it that close. So that's a print. This is a powder coated can, basically.
Huh.
I noticed
maybe that's why the orange pops so much.
I noticed because the like L's and stuff, they have like bleeding from the print not being dry for a second. But kind of popping in here where Matt was, the orange is a beautiful color. It definitely stands out on the shelf. It would stand out next to almost any beer can. It freakishly looks similar to the milk stout can as far as orange color goes that we were working with previously. I think it could probably do without the map in the background, and it would look just fine. It would be a clean can design, would eliminate some of Matt's problems in the back, which I agree with. It's too hard to read. There's too many lines happening. But I do appreciate the layout of the can itself. And if you spin it and see where the barcode is, because they distribute and they have barcodes on there because people want to be able to scan stuff. But the stuff above the barcode is beautiful. The layout of the Ohio craft beer stuff, the featuring One Line Coffee, they have One Line's logo on here. They have the Independence Brewery logo. They have the Please Recycle, Got Your Government Warning. But it's nice and clean and crisp, everything about it. And the Wolf's Ridge logo just is simple, but I love every second of it. And then the wolf is a really cool rendition of a wolf. So it's like a sketchy line art of the wolf. I like it. It's not my favorite design from them, but the beer inside of it makes up for any missed opportunity on the can label.
I think it works. It doesn't feel like there's too much going on. And again, I think the big thing is you want something that stands out on a store shelf, but is at least going to match what's inside.
Yep. Just having Daybreak real bold,
yeah,
real big, printed along the side of it. If you were to see just this like portion of that can where you can just see the Wolf's Ridge logo, just describes what it is, I'd be interested in picking it up or putting it on one of those like build your own 12 packs where you can see the, or not really build your own, but like a varietal 12 pack where you can see all the cans in it. I think it would fit perfectly in one of those.
All right, let's talk about this beer.
Yeah, we're going to let Matt take back over because he's the guideline guy.
So for the overall impression, if you are new to our show, we go through the BJCP guidelines, and this is for a cream ale. The overall impression is sort of what to expect from this beer as they meld appearance, aroma, flavor, and mouthfeel all together. This American lawnmower beer, which I absolutely love, is that they call a cream ale a lawnmower beer. It's clean, highly carbonated, and full of flavor. It's easy to drink, smooth, refreshing, offering more taste than regular American lagers while remaining subtle and balanced. I think that is a great description of a cream ale.
I think so, too. It's bolder than a lager and pilsner, but it also is still what people probably think is a lager or a pilsner.
And a lot of people who are your traditional, like our parents who are traditionally Bud Light, Coors Light, Miller Light, you give them a cream ale and they're like, oh, okay, this is actually pretty good. Like it matches kind of what their flavor profiles are used to and doesn't stray too far like an IPA would or some of the other kind of crazier beers. It feels like when you get out of the lager side of it, a cream ale is probably the closest thing to a lager that we got. I could be wrong. Not a brewer, but that's just how I kind of feel on that one.
As far as who's drinking it, I think that's the closest thing. As far as brewing,
well, probably not brewing wise, but like flavor profile, stuff like that, I feel like it's probably the closest that we got unless you're actually making a lager.
Well, that's why Sun King made the cream ale probably originally, was they were trying to draw in these Coors and Bud and Miller.
Well, hell, that would have been us. Like, I mean, that's the realist. That's the realism is that's what we were drinking at that point in time, because that would have been like 2009,
it wouldn't open.
2010, somewhere around there. But like, as we were 21 and, you know, still fresh to the world, we were, you know, Blue Moon was a craft beer for us back then. So, you know, we were mostly drinking the domestics. So getting a cream ale was like, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah. This is different.
Yeah. And so there, you think about people like us, and then now you're inviting your parents into that world, and this is what you give them outside of lagers and stuff like that. Let's start with appearance. This beer is usually a light color ranging from pale straw to light gold.
I mean, it hits in there. It's actually like a beautiful gold with a little bit of a yellowy orange hue to it. But I think it's definitely a beautiful color as far as a beer color. It looks like a beer.
I was going to say, mine kind of, it is interesting how light just kind of really changes everything. Cause like from sitting over here, mine looks pretty pale, pale straw. And I like this color. And then like yours kind of looks like a deep golden color. And I know it's all just light based, but I've always found that.
I have the light coming into me and it's kind of moving away from Matt at the moment, but it's, I mean, it looks like what a cream ale would look like. I bet if you poured Sun King's next to this, it'd look pretty damn similar.
I feel like Sun King's is a little bit lighter, but Sun King's also isn't infused with coffee and vanilla, which
they made a coffee version of that, which this reminds me of. And I, Sun King, keep making it or make more of it, damn it.
Has a decent amount of foam that doesn't last too long, and it looks very clear and bubbly. Yeah. My favorite thing, sorry to interrupt, but just watching the bubbles flow from the bottom of the glass to the top is just, I don't know what it's like, this childlike awe.
It's like that a lava lamp.
Yeah. That I just love watching happen in these clearer beers that you get to see it.
It's Matt's version of a lava lamp.
Yes, it really is. If I could figure out a way to bottle this and just have it nonstop, it would be awesome.
Wolfridge? Question mark? No. No, I will say it is. Mine still has a head on it, and it's very white. It laces quite a bit, so it's actually a pretty like thick viscosity on the head. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, and when you swirl it up, it all kind of pops there. It's beautiful from appearance. It's exactly what you want. There's no.
It's really clean.
It's not super hazy, really at all. It's got a little bit of haze to it, which you expect from some adjunct type stuff. But you know, there's nothing appearance wise wrong with this. And somebody said, "Here's a cream ale," and didn't tell you it's coffee vanilla. You're like, "Okay, that's a cream ale."
For aroma, then you would smell it.
Yeah. For aroma, the beer has a mild, slightly sweet smell that reminds you of corn. It may have a hint of hop aroma, but it's not too strong and can vary in type. Overall, it has a gentle and well-balanced scent with no strong fruity smells. And obviously, with this one, you're going to want to smell coffee and try to pull some vanilla. I think with vanilla, it really all depends on what kind of vanilla we're talking about. I always find that the ones that label Madagascar vanilla are the ones that really pop, which is sometimes not great, but
man, so I still to this day remember the first time I had this beer poured in the tap room, and it literally smelled like fresh pressed cold brew coffee, and I still get a lot of the fresh bread, like the cold brew coffee in this.
There's also a nice malt background to it. It's almost, I don't know, it's just like a nice bready malt background. But the coffee, I think, is the number one scent in this. And it does have something else on the back end, but I can't pull what it is.
It does kind of have like a little bit of a corn smell to it on the back end there. It is a lot of coffee. And it's not like roasted coffee beans or something like that. Like, it's coffee. I don't know if I really smell the vanilla. I think it's probably there. There's some sweetness, so maybe that's what it is. But I feel like that could get lost in the sweetness of the cream ale itself.
Yeah, lost in the shuffle. It might just be to take some of the bitterness from coffee to not overbitter this sweet beer.
I like the aroma. It's not one that I would smell and be like, I have to drink this one first. There's some beers out there where you smell and you're like, that one's definitely the first one I'm drinking out of this flight. But it's good.
I think we're probably biased to aromas based on wanting it to be like a porter with coffee.
Yeah, expecting a little bit of roasted coffee out of it, and that's not really what we're getting.
Yeah, so it has the guideline notes. It hits all those, but it also throws in coffee.
All right, let's get into my favorite part here. Flavor means we actually get to drink this beer. This beer offers a mild to moderate level of hop bitterness and a slight sweetness from the malt. Malt flavor is generally neutral with hints of graininess or crackers. Strikes a well-balanced taste. Finish can range from somewhat light, dry, and crisp to delicately sweet. And then obviously with this one, you're going to want to be able to taste the coffee, taste the vanilla. I think that is important. What do you think?
This beer hits the exact opposite side of I could drink like pints and not feel like I drank too much. It's not overpowering. Nothing is overpowering on the flavors. It all mends really nicely together. The coffee's not as big on the palate as it is on the nose, but it's there. The cream ale base, I think, is ideal. So it does have that like sweetness from the cream ale. The vanilla, I think, pulls a little bit of the bitterness from the one line coffee out. I love it. I think it's one of my favorite styles that they make. And then all the variants of them are crazy.
I feel like I taste the vanilla more than anything. Like, kind of, you know, swirling around and everything. There's some coffee, but I just feel like I get a lot of vanilla. And I don't like that because I don't like when the vanilla is kind of a little too strong.
I don't know if it's vanilla that's doing that. I think it's the cream ale base and then a little bit of vanilla with it. I think it's just a sweeter base. Your corns and all that.
Yeah, but there's vanilla there. Like I can taste the vanilla. It is quite sweet. I feel like the coffee's a little bit lost. Like, it's there, but it feels a little bit lost behind all the sweetness. Not really what I was kind of expecting from this one. I would have thought it would be a little bit more coffee forward, I guess, than the rest of it.
Not sure where the coffee falls. I think that it's there. This can doesn't seem to be as prominent as some of the other versions that I've had for coffee, too. So it may just be, hey, you know, I mean, it was in a cooler and it drove back from Columbus. But again, you can't control a canning line. But I get a lot of coffee as I'm now done drinking it. I can still like taste the coffee profile on the back end.
It's like, yeah, but it felt like there was more. It felt like there was just more to it in the aroma than what I'm getting in the actual flavor.
Welcome to a cream ale.
I don't know. Like that, that's just one of those weird personal quirks where it's like, if you tell me it's there, I better taste it. And like, yeah, I do taste it, but it's not what I was expecting when you sent this over, and it's a coffee vanilla cream ale. It's more cream ale with a hint of coffee and a little bit stronger hint of vanilla.
Is that not what you expect out of a flavored cream ale? Would you want the flavor to take over the beer?
To be honest, I guess I haven't really had too many flavored cream ales. this was my expectation of just adjunct beers in general, where they do like they meld it a little bit better. And again, I know a cream ale is going to be a little sweet, that corn sweetness from it. I just don't get enough. I feel like it's like almost all base beer, which is what I don't think you want out of a adjunct beer necessarily, to be it where the base beer shines through that much. Like, you want it to shine, but not necessarily be the whole thing.
I think it depends. I mean,
I know this is going to be a difficult conversation because you really enjoy this beer, and it's not hitting for me the same way as it does you. It's the blood orange all over again, where I love blood orange from Chili Water, and it's not as big for you. And so
there, I think it's just the adjunct shows more than the beer. That's what I run into.
All right, well, let's talk about the mouthfeel. This beer is usually light and refreshing, can have a medium body, feel smooth in the mouth, and moderate to high levels of fermentation, which contribute to a satisfying thirst-quenching sensation. Additionally, it has high carbonation, making it bubbly and lively. So it does have a lot of carbonation. I do give it that. That is two beers in a row that have had great carbonation, and that has been a plague for me drinking at home that I am so sick and tired of.
I will say this is it's a beer I could drink five or six of if I wanted to drink that many of the same style and not feel like I just drank 6 gallons of something that's going to hurt my stomach, because it's smooth, it's creamy, it's carbonated, but it's not like disgustingly carbonated. It doesn't hurt my stomach like drinking a Coca-Cola does. I mean, I think it hits what it needs to. I can't speak any higher than, hey, these win gold medals at places, so I guarantee that it hits what it needs to hit.
Yeah. It's definitely light. It's definitely refreshing. Thirst quenching. It'd be nice to have the base beer, just the regular cream ale. This one I don't find as thirst quenching necessarily as I would say like a Sun King cream ale, but I think that's because there's adjuncts. And I think once you start adding adjuncts to lagers and stuff like that, it kind of strays away a little bit from that kind of mentality, which is perfectly fine. But the rest of it, I think it is medium body. So it's not like this, it's light, but I don't think it's a light mouthfeel to it.
It's a drinkable mouthfeel, but it's not light in the fact that it's thin.
Yeah, it's definitely, and it maybe medium is too high, like a light medium, like whatever would be in between that. That's how I would kind of represent that. I don't know how many of these I could drink, to be honest. But I can talk a little bit more about that in our tier list here. So top 50 house beers. I think this one's going to be interesting because I think we're going to have some a little bit differing of opinion here. I'll let you tell me where you think this belongs.
Based on every time I've drank it, not just this time. This time, I don't know that the coffee's as bold as it was in some past renditions that I've had, or some past like canning lines. I don't know when this one was canned. It looks like it was canned on March 31st of this year, so not terribly old, honestly. I got it from the tap room. So with this one, this specific can, I think it's near like a 10. A previous renditions of the style and what I know of the beer, I would say 5 or 6.
Wow. I kind of had a feeling you were going to be pretty high on this. I'm back towards like 20.
So what don't you like?
I think it's the vanilla.
I think you have a sensitive palate for vanilla.
I was literally going to say that. I think there's something about vanilla in beer that I just maybe do not enjoy. And I am starting to notice that the more of these beers that we have that have vanilla in it. And it's just like, why is this beer got so much vanilla? And you're like, there's not that much vanilla in this. And it's like, why can I taste so much vanilla? Because that's literally all I taste out of this beer is just vanilla. There is sweetness, but vanilla's got that taste to it, and there it's almost like an artificial taste sometimes, And that's kind of what I think sucks about it, is like you have to use so much vanilla that it can get to be a, I know you call it cloying. I'm not that smart with words, but just like this, like it just kind of sticks with you. Like that's, and then like every drink I take, it just kind of is more of that and more of that. I didn't get enough coffee that I personally would want out of this. And just a little bit, that vanilla is just too much for me personally.
See, I don't get a whole lot. Yeah. I mean, I get vanilla, but it's not like enough that I'm concerned at the amount of vanilla.
Yeah.
I do think there needs to be more coffee in this round.
There's just the aftertaste. Like it kind of coats your, it like coats my mouth, and the aftertaste is just not like a good one for me. And that's where I feel like the vanilla is kind of just sticking around. And I don't know. There's just, I believe you. I believe that this is, and obviously they got the metals to back it up. There's something about this that either is not hitting for me or that I am just missing from this. I think it matches everything it's supposed to, other than, you know, the coffee's a little light for me. The vanilla's a little overboard for me. But clearly, when it's going through all these things, it's working perfectly. How does this fare when it comes to being in a can? All the cans can be different. All the batches can be different. It did warm up a little bit, which I think may also play into the vanilla coming out for me, because that's what's happened with some of the other ones.
I think this needs to be drank much colder for it to be, because when I first poured it, I smelled a metric ton of coffee, and then it slowly digressed. And that could be for many reasons, but
yeah. And I mean, we have it sitting on ice, so it came out cold, but you know, after 20 minutes or so of talking, it obviously kind of warmed up a little bit. And I think for me, maybe that's where that vanilla just kind of overtook just a tad.
I think that the, like with Chili Waters beer, I get a bunch of like adjuncty flavor, and that's just, I just don't like blood orange in beers. So that's part of the issue.
Yeah, I could see that. Cause they, I mean, that is you do get a lot of blood orange in that beer. You are not wrong.
I like blood orange, but I feel like at a certain level, like theirs is better than Center Points, and Center Points is a blonde, I think. But
like personally, I think I'd rather drink a Gold Standard more than what I had of this particular one. And that's always the hard part, is we're rating it off of one particular can or bottle that we get that may not be the best example of the beer at the time, because so many factors can play into that. But that's all we got currently.
Yeah, I would definitely not choose Gold Standard over this, mainly because I just, not a Belgian beer person.
Yeah.
Not my cup of tea. I like it. I know it's brewed well. I know it's well done. I don't know. I just feel like this is at least better than Taxman's.
So how far are you willing to drop it?
Well, what's Taxman?
Well, Taxman's 15. And then we have Chili Water is at 10. And Googman's at 9. And then 11 through 14 are empty.
Like a 12?
I think I could compromise with that.
We'll get you another can.
I was going to say, it's not a bad beer. Like, there's literally nothing wrong with it. This is just, for me, like, I don't think I would put it that high.
We'll get you a can, or we'll go to Wolf's Ridge and you can drink it on tap.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we need to go to Wolf's Ridge. Just, I need to make that trip. But yeah, I'm okay with it at 12. I think while I would probably still choose other things before it, the brew quality does lend itself to being a higher rated beer. And obviously the metals back that up. But, you know, Gold Standard, I'm pretty sure, is one metals and stuff too. I can live with 12.
I think it could be the number one house beer if we have it on tap.
That would be interesting. I would like to try it with Clear Sky. Like, try Clear Sky, then try this and see, is it the cream ale? Like, is there just something about their cream ale that is,
well, we could find out. I have a double different version down here.
Yeah, but like, you, I want the base space to really,
didn't have that option.
Yeah, to really see, like, is that what's maybe adding a little bit of sweetness. Is it the vanilla that I think I'm getting? Like, I feel like where I was always missing cinnamon, vanilla was the one that I was able to pull pretty easily.
A lot.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to do it for the show. This one's going at number 12 on the top 50 house beer list. We'll see if at a later date it may rise the ranks. But make sure you tune in on Friday for another Friday 4-pack. So until then, cheers.
Cheers.